Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom. Questions, answers, shares, dialogues, whatever you want to call it. It's Friday morning, and this is when I typically turn on my audio recording software and real time go through what has been submitted for the week. So here we go. This first one is from Carrie, who has completed day four, video five, so pretty much through most of the experience. Here we go. Hi, Robert. I want you to know I have a quote-unquote brutally honest approach to life as well. I'm going to stop here for a minute. She's referring to, if you don't know, in the archive the week before this, so I guess that would be the 21st of August, 2015, there was a question from her and my reply. This is what she's responding to here. Honest approach to life as well, and although I find it is often not appreciated, wanted, or understood, I truly appreciate when someone can call me out on and help me see my own bullshit. So thank you. I may be off in understanding the teachings. I know you find some value in non-dualistic teachings, and at the same time, I know you also find that there is something missing. With that said, I may not fully understand the full essence of what you are conveying, so I invite you to help me to gain clarity. Perhaps it is just a perspective thing, but I invite you to consider the ideas below. I used to be heavily into Advaita. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Carrie and other people listening, but that's how I've always pronounced it. And have since developed an aversion to non-dualistic language. I think we can agree that we are each perceptual points of view through which true creative essence experiences itself. I'm going to stop there for a minute. When you say have since developed an aversion to non-dualistic language, through my eyes, what that means is, remember, the mind machine looks at everything and it asks its three questions. And based on what's in its database, programs, and algorithms, it pops out answers to the questions with a final conclusion. And so when you say, I have developed an aversion to non-dualistic language, what that means to me, my bias, everything's my bias, is the mind machine's buzzword has been altered. And whereas perhaps it may have once liked the non-dualistic language when it looked at it and asked the questions, something changed somewhere along the line, and now when the mind machine sees that language, it buzzes and whirs and kicks out and goes, oh God, I don't like that, whatever thought might appear, whatever feelings or sensations might appear with it. It's not Carrie in and of itself. It doesn't mean anything. It's the output of a machine, and it's important as part of the journey into ultimate freedom, fully awakening, to at least at the beginning intellectually understand that until it becomes an experience. And as I have mentioned before, you may or may not have heard Carrie in the archives, I think it's very, very supportive. I think that language reflects what's going on very often, and it can be supportive. So I find it very supportive on this journey to change language to accurately reflect the truth. So when you say, and again, I'm not being critical here, I'm just inviting you and everyone else listening to consider this, I have developed an aversion that the truthful language would be something like, it doesn't have to be these words, but something like the mind machine has been altered in its data, programs, and algorithms, and now when it looks at non-dualistic language, it buzzes and whirs and kicks out, I don't like this, you know, or whatever else it is. Something like that, that describes the truth of what's going on instead of reinforcing the old ways, which is I this, I that, I feel this, I think that, my opinion is, whatever. Here we go. You tend to go between using non-dualistic language and using terms of I and me. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I don't know how you're defining non-dualistic language, but one of my preferences and biases in the way my character is created is to create new terms and then attach my own definitions to them and then use the new terms. So when you say non-dualistic language, I'm not sure what you mean by that. To me, the language in Ultimate Freedom is unique, but if you want to get more specific on that, that's fine. And for just practical purposes, you can't talk about life without saying I or me. I mean, you could put something else in there, but there's no reason to. You know, the metaphor that I use for this is, let's say that you are an actress, or you could think of, you know, an actress that you like, an actor or an actress that you like in movies or TV. And let's say that the real character, so to speak, at the story level's name is Jane. But in a particular role on TV or in a movie or on Broadway or whatever, that actress Jane is playing a character named Sally. When the character's acting, she'll say I, referring to Sally. She'll say me, referring to Sally. If somebody says, hey, Sally, she'll say yes, because that's what's going on in the story. Now, she knows she's not Sally. She knows she's Jane, but there's no problem with using Sally when there's an awareness of the truth of what's really going on. And so, again, this may seem like it's contradicting what I said before about what I call transformational vocabulary, speaking the truth of things. It is very supportive to speak the truth of things in language in most cases, for most characters, my bias, but ultimately, it doesn't make any difference once ultimate freedom awakens or it's awakening or a lot of sun is shining or whatever you want. You can use I and me and it doesn't matter because you know what the truth is, just like the actress does in the example. But on the road to that, it's supportive. So anyway, there's no reason to not use I and me, with the caveat of what I said about it's supportive as cloud cover is still being knocked out, as ultimate freedom is still awakening, to use language. But again, I don't know what you mean about me fluctuating between non-dualistic language. But anyway, to me, the non-dualistic language is an attempt to deny what is, which I perceive as the recognition that consciousness, or TCE, is experiencing itself uniquely through perceptual point of view. Okay, I'm going to stop there again. Carrie, this again is the output of the mind machine. The mind machine has learned this from somewhere. Could be, in your case, from a book, could be from a channeled communication, could be from a guide or a teacher or consciousness itself speaking to you or whatever. But what this is the output of the mind machine. It's an opinion. It's a buzzword that kicks out and is defining what non-dualistic language means. And again, it's important, like what I said before, to be aware of what's really going on here. And that's what's really going on here. It's no different than if you went to Google and you typed in non-dualism and a bunch of listings came up and you clicked on one of them and it said non-duality is defined as, and it's the Google database just kicking out a definition that it has in its database when queried on it. You know, it's the same exact thing with you, except there's a story that says, no, this is what Carrie thinks. This is Carrie's perspective. This is Carrie this. This is Carrie that. And it's not true. It's the output of a machine. Okay, to speak in non-dualistic terms often feels disingenuous. I'm going to stop there. Again, that's a mind machine buzzword story that may have a feeling or sensation component. Continuing, and as if it is missing the mark. Life, parentheses, TCE, experiences itself through each unique perspective as a whole, but the individual perspectives do not experience the whole. It is too much, as you pointed out. My perspective is called Carrie. Yours is called Robert. The rocks, the trees, the stars, etc. are all perspectives. So to imply that any perceptual point of view doesn't exist and is simply the whole of TCE seems off. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Carrie, again, this is all mind noise. This is all idea and concept. This is all a dump of what the mind machine has learned and has stored in its database. It's dancing, what I call dancing, with ideas and concepts, or in some cases, fighting with ideas and concepts. And all of this becomes completely irrelevant when the experience, capital E, of truth, with capital T, what I call ultimate freedom, awakens. Until that happens, this kind of stuff can buzz and whir and swirl, and I like this, and I don't like that, and I agree with this, and this is accurate, and this isn't, and all this opinion stuff, and idea and concept, and mind noise stuff. But ultimately, and believe me, I've been there, and I've done that, and I've been caught in it, and I believed it was real, and I believed it was my opinion, and I believed it was an accurate analytical whatever analysis of it. But the reality is it's all irrelevant in the face of experience, and that's what this is all about, is experiencing these things. And when it's experienced, this kind of mind machine stuff ultimately quiets down and then disappears, and there isn't this kind of dynamic. This, again, is just the dance, the fight of ideas and concepts that the character's mind machine has learned and installed and comes out as a buzzword. And whether it's accurate at the idea and concept level or not, whether you're certain that it's true, whatever, doesn't matter. It's ideas and concepts. And ultimately, no offense intended to you or anyone else, ideas and concepts are worthless. It may be fun to think about. They may be interesting and stimulated to debate. Plenty of people all over the world do that. I used to. But ultimately, my bias is they're worthless, except as a support of a gateway opening, a first step, as I've talked about, towards ultimately having the experience that resolves all of it. And again, when you say seems off, what that means is, again, my mind machine is buzzed in word and has concluded that this appears off. You didn't even say it is off. You said seems off. So the language is even reflecting this is an opinion, this is a buzzword of the mind machine. Nothing wrong with that. No problem with this, but there's the opportunity to see with a capital S and experience with a capital E the truth of what's really going on here. Continuing. Everything is true creative essence, which is the experiencer. Whether the perceptual point of view perceives itself as true creative essence or not, it doesn't matter. Although I agree that true creative essence is experiencing itself, it does not negate the perceptual point of view through which it, true creative essence, is having the experiences. Okay, that I have to stop again. This is the same thing, Carrie. And again, I don't mean any offense. This is just mind noise. This is just dance of ideas and concepts. This is just the mind machine dumping out and, in a sense, bragging about the conclusions that it's drawn. And it doesn't mean anything. It's a lot of gobbledygook. And when I say that again, been there, done that, been mesmerized and hypnotized by it all, again, whether at some level of idea, concept, logic, whatever, it makes sense or not, doesn't matter. It's gobbledygook. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't support the actual experience of it, which is what's important, what the ultimate freedom experience offers an opportunity for and what you're really after. This is just the mind machine posturing and prancing and basically on some level saying, hey, look at all this amazing stuff that I understand. Look at how clear I am on these things and how clearly I can explain it. And whether there's that piece of being proud of itself, so to speak, or not, that we talked about last week, it's still just a dump of what's in the mind machine's database with a story that says, I think this, I agree, I disagree, this is on, this is off, this is that, but all it is just mind noise. Continuing, that is the piece that my character rejects about non-dualistic teachings. Going to stop there again. My character rejects means the mind machine buzzes and whirs, and based on its database, based on its programs, based on its algorithms, based on the unique way it was built, as the Carrie character's story unfolded, this is the output of the machine. It's not rejecting or accepting. It's not carry this or carry that. It's the output of a machine that's been built in a unique way. And who you really are is aware of the output. And in some cases, the buzzword dynamics that led to the output. But that's the opportunity. Who you really are is true creative essence, total immersion reading, which I believe you've gotten to based on the videos you're through, total immersion reading, that the Carrie mind machine has buzzed in word and kicked out these opinions and these rejections and acceptances and biases. Again, nothing wrong with it. That's just the truth of it. Continuing, we are both the experiencer and the experience. We are our lives. We cannot separate ourselves from our lives. The same is true for true creative essence experiencing itself through us. And one perspective is not more valid than another. Stopping, more mind noise, Carrie. More opinion kicked out by the mind machine. Meaningless in the face of actually experiencing this. And when it's actually experienced, there isn't any need for these kind of analyses or whatever else. Then there's just experiencing. That's just what happens. It's just what happens as a natural byproduct of ultimate freedom awakening and experiencing these truths versus being able to pass tests on them and narrate them and analyze them and kick this kind of stuff out. Continuing, that is why each perceptual point of view was created, so that true creative essence could experience itself through each individuated perspective. So why deny the existence of the perspective seems a bit nihilistic. Again, if I were to look at what you're saying here at a purely idea, concept, intellectual level, logical level, and I wanted to play at that level, which I don't anymore, there certainly is accuracy to what you're saying, but it's mind noise. It's worthless in the face of what it is you really want, which is to experience this, not quote-unquote think about it, and so fine. If the mind machine kicks out that it seems a little nihilistic, however you... Whatever. This is still just mind machine noise. This is still just buzzword opinion. Ultimately, it's meaningless, even if it's accurate. In the face of the desire to experience all of this, with a capital E, which I know is your desire. Continuing, regardless, after listening to my question and your answer, I could see where your bullshit detectors went off. And after listening to my question from the perspective of the observer, I could see the grandiose ego in my note, and you pointed out the disconnect very clearly. So thanks for calling it out and bringing it into the light. Smiles. Okay, now, Carrie, my bias is, again, our mind machines are built in unique ways, and ultimately they run on autopilot after a certain point most of the time, and there can be a very dramatic, jarring, what I call truth virus-y kind of an experience that can shake up, change the way that it runs. But for most people, even on the spiritual or the truth path, the mind machine is built a certain way. There are certain data, programs, algorithms, it runs a certain way. And that keeps happening until something really shakes it up, if it ever does. And in a lot of stories, it never does. But on this path, it does. And so until that happens, on this journey of ultimate freedom awakening, knocking out cloud cover, whatever you want to talk about it, these kinds of things will happen a lot. The mind machine will buzz and whir and kick out its stuff, and we will think it's true, it's accurate, it's our opinion, it's this, it's that, whatever. And then there's the opportunity to see what it is. And my role is to continue to shine the light of truth through my biased eyes onto this stuff, and as I said, where it goes, it goes. So this kind of stuff is to be expected. It happened in the Robert story to one degree or another. It happens in the majority of the stories that I'm aware of on the journey to ultimate freedom awakening in my sphere of influence, so to speak. There are different dynamics. There are people that don't have as much of this. There are people that the truth virus works a lot quicker, or there's not as many layers of whatever that need to be broken through or whatever. But these kinds of things happen all the time. It's not a problem. It doesn't mean you're failing. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. And if you and I were to have dialogues like this for 6 months where things like this come up and I say, whatever, this is mind machine noise, this is an old program, this is that, doesn't make any difference. To one degree or another, that's what happens for everybody as the truth virus does its work. And in a sense, there's something I did about this in the archive somewhere. I don't remember which episode. But my perception, and it isn't a rule or a formula, it's just the way it seemed to me, is that if you imagine that the truth virus is like a computer programmer and it's going through the database, looking at it, you know, piece of data by piece of data, it's going through the programs and algorithms and it's looking at each line of computer code, if you know what I mean by that. And it's rewriting things and it's changing things, and from time to time, as it's doing that, it kind of says, this is a generality, don't take it too literally, but it kind of says, hey, Carrie, look what I found in your mind machine. It's what I call the guided tour of the truth virus doing its work, and then it'll kick out something like this. And those kinds of, hey, Carrie, look what I found, hey, Carrie, look what I found, you know, and sometimes I participate in that by comments here. It can go on for a long time. It can go on for a short time. It can go on about the same thing over and over. It can go on about different things. It's part of the process. Ultimately, looking back, It's generally perceived as being amazing and extraordinary and fun and delicious. And even if in the middle of it there's resistance, the mind machine buzzes and whirs and says, no, 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 no. It's not just my opinion. It's this is, whatever, whatever. Or there's anger or there's ego hurt or whatever else in using phase one judgmental language. Doesn't make any difference. It's part of the process. And I find it all interesting. And ultimately, my bias from my own story and the stories of others is when you get through it, you come out the other end, so to speak. All of these things are looked at as, wow, that was an amazing journey. And because you can remember when you were so caught in these things, when so many things used to get you by the throat, when illusions, lies, illusions, and stories were so hypnotic and mesmerizing. And even if you understood it intellectually, it isn't really what was being experienced. And then it is, and it's, oh my God, I remember the way it used to be. And now everything's being experienced this different way. And wow, that's amazing. What a journey. What a story. Cool. All right. So that's what I have to share on this particular question. Okay, here we go with the second question. This one is also from Carrie. I have watched them all, so she has now completed the Ultimate Key to Freedom videos. I don't know if she has gone through the happiness stuff yet, but anyway. I had previously been obsessed with healing, fixing, or stopping ongoing post-divorce litigation cycles I keep finding myself dragged into. I have been obsessed with getting my life back together and trying to do whatever I can to preserve the emotional well-being of my daughters. The urgency of that seems to be fading as I am slowly letting go of my attachment to those things needing to be fixed, but I am finding that the same dynamic is not present in all areas of my life. New things are popping up that I feel are preoccupations or desires that seem trivial by comparison. You said things would take care of themselves, which at least with one of my daughters I am seeing, and there has been a huge shift there, and I was awarded court-ordered therapy for the other daughter, so we are working through that. However, these new things that seem insignificant to the rational mind are becoming a preoccupation. Do they also take care of themselves? Question mark. I'm going to stop there. Carrie, I don't know how old you are, and I don't know how long you have been on the, let's call it, spiritual path, truth path, whatever you want to call it. But what I feel like saying, and this definitely was the truth for me in my story, and it was the truth for many other people that I'm aware of, characters and stories that I'm aware of. We can spend decades, or certainly years and years and years, if not multiple decades, trying different techniques, trying different methods, trying different practices, trying different healing dynamics, trying to achieve particular kinds of things, including what I call awakening ultimate freedom. There's other labels, as you know. And we may be frustrated, but it all gets washed under the bridge. The years and years and years and hours and how much money was spent and the effort and the repetitive practices and all these things. And then we can have what I call profound impatience. And so you just finished all of these videos recently. You've been involved with the Ultimate Key to Freedom teachings. I don't know. I'm going to make up. I could be a little wrong, but it doesn't matter. A couple of weeks. And what there is here, number one, is this profound impatience. And again, been there, done that, experienced that myself all the time to the point that when I look back, it seems ridiculous, but it didn't at the time. You know what I mean when I use that language. The fact that anything has changed at all is miraculous. And something to be appreciated, something to be enjoyed, bear with all of this language. And to be, wow. I mean, the fact that anything could be changing with a lifetime of other stuff, with limited exposure to this. Now, again, the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience is designed specifically to do this. So it certainly it happens. It happens a lot. But what I'm saying is the fact that anything has changed, which you narrated as, I was obsessed with all of this and I'm slowly letting go. That's a miracle, I mean, that's amazing. That's wow. And what's kind of coming through here, and again, been there, done that, no matter how crazy or ridiculous or silly it seems in retrospect, what's coming up is, all right, fine, well, this stuff's changing, but this other stuff isn't changing. Fuck! Screw that. I want all of this stuff to change, and I want all of this stuff to change instantly. And because it hasn't, that's not good. Now, you may not be having thoughts with those language, that language. It may or may not be that dramatic. I'm being dramatic to make a point. So this is very much the way the mind machine works. It'll buzz and whir about stuff. It won't appreciate things. It won't see the miraculous nature of what's happened. It'll be focusing on, okay, fine, so we made some progress in this, but we don't have any progress with that. Shit, I want progress with that too. And it starts to buzz and whir. It doesn't buzz and whir about the stuff that's changed as much because it's noticed the change, but then it focuses on what hasn't changed and runs this whole thing about, okay, this is still broken and I want it fixed, you know? So this goes back to what I said in the previous question. This is what the journey's like. The truth virus, I feel like saying, although it can be instantaneous or fast and then slow and then fast and then slow, whatever, but slowly but surely, I feel like saying it works itself through the programs, the data, and the algorithms of the mind machine, and slowly but surely, things begin to change with the guided tour component as it takes on these big things that used to cause so many problems, and it tends to be, although it doesn't have to be, compartmentalized. There's a particular something that used to be a big deal that the truth virus works its way through. And then it moves on to something else. And the something else all of a sudden gets, in general, amplified, magnified, zoomed in on, takes all of our attention, seems to be a big problem, you know, whatever, is the truth virus is working its way through that. And then it completes that project and it moves on to another one. And this is what tends to happen, different for all of us. Again, in my case, this kind of a thing happened, I feel like saying, over 3.5 years before ultimate freedom fully awakened. And then it continued after that with total immersion reading of the continuing healing journey of the Robert character. That in your case, Carrie, you'll get more about that in the Amethyst program things. There wasn't as much about that in the Sedona videos, as I recall, although I think there is in the archive of Q&As like this. So anyway, do they also take care of themselves? Yes. When? I don't know. How long is it going to take? I don't know. Once the thing about some of these other things that you're saying, new preoccupations or desires, when those take care of themselves, is that going to be it? Or are there going to be new ones that surface? I don't know. Odds are there will be new ones that surface, but your journey could be unique, and there wouldn't be. There's no rule or formula for how this works. So everything takes care of itself. It doesn't necessarily, although it could, but I talk a lot in the videos about why it does not tend to happen instantly. Michael Haig, in his own way, talking about the art of stories, if you remember the second video that you might want to watch again, he said it's bad writing if the character just instantly changes. It needs to occur over time, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, slowly but surely the character transforms, and that's what makes a great story. And that tends to be, doesn't have to be, but it tends to be part of the stories on this journey of ultimate freedom awakening too. Continuing, I feel the inner judgment about this other thing that I shouldn't desire it or that it is silly to want it, but it's still there. Again, Carrie, that's not you. That's the mind machine. It's buzzing and whirring and kicking this stuff out. It's kicking out, I want, I want, I want. And then it looks at that, and then it buzzes and whirs and kicks out, oh, no, I shouldn't want that. That's trivial. That's silly. That doesn't matter. And then here's this dance again, sometimes fight of ideas and concepts with the mind machine. I'll just, because you talked about it this way, recycling its own bullshit, kicking out its own opinions on its own opinions on its own bullshit. And it's quite humorous when you really see what's going on. It is what it is. The desires appear because the mind machine was built. True creative essence shaping itself into a unique mind machine being built and operating in a unique way that yields these desires surfacing and then yields the judgment of them. And all of this, the truth virus will work its way through, or at least there's that opportunity if that's what's being written in your story. And it doesn't matter. And the truth is, what's happening here is no different This isn't a metaphor, although I use it as a metaphor. The experience of it is almost identical, except it's total immersion, as I talked about. What's happening here, truthfully, with a capital T, is no different than if you were reading a novel. Same thing of a movie or a TV show, but I like the metaphor of novel better for reasons you understand. It's no different than if you're reading a novel, and the hero of the novel, I'm just going to say, is a woman named Carrie, and you're on page 256, and you're reading about this Carrie character having the same desires that you do on page 256, and then you turn the page, and on page 257, you then read, I shouldn't really desire this. This is silly. This is trivial. There are far more important things for me to be worrying about and trying to deal with. And so you're on page 258 and you're seeing what's going on in the thoughts and feelings of this Carrie character as you're reading the pages of the novel, and you're the reader of it. It's not happening to you. You're reading about a character named Carrie that's having these desires and then the judgment of them and all that stuff. The truth is, you are true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Carrie story, and you are aware of the desires as the total immersion reader. You are aware of the judgment. It's all these things that are just, in this case, appearing in inner space. But it's not you, and it's not your opinion, and it's not your desires, and it's not your judgments. It's the output of a machine that you are aware of. Continuing, I feel the push and pull, meaning I know it is there, and as such, I quote-unquote should feel whatever I feel because that is what I feel, but the mind machine is having a field day with the inner conflict it evokes. Do I just watch it and see what happens? Part of me wants to act on it, which I usually would do because I pay more attention to my intuitive hunches and feelings, but it feels ridiculous and silly. And now I see this polka dance going on in the mind machine. Okay, so you're starting to experience, not narrate some spiritual concept that you learned somewhere or that you received somehow. You're starting to actually experience the truth of what's going on. And that's the journey here. There's more and more experience of the truth of everything. There's getting into a capital T, truthful relationship with everything. And when that happens, everything changes. Just to use that language, there's no to-do list here, Carrie. There's no Carrie who can just watch it and see what happens. There's no Carrie who cannot watch it but act on it. There is true creative essence shaping itself into what happens, just like J.K. Rowling shaping herself into what happens in the Harry Potter stories. If it's going to be watched, just to use your language, and again, to me, it's total immersion. It's not just watching, it's total immersion in what happens. While total immersion, reading it is my language, imperfect language, but my language. If there's watching of it and seeing what happens, great. That's what True Creative Essence wrote, and that's what it shaped itself into. If there's acting on certain things, sometimes, all the time, from time to time, that's what was written, that's what's in the story, that's what's on the page of the novel of the Carrie story, and that's what happens. The truth is, you are always, not as a theory, not as a philosophy, not as an idea or a concept, but an experience. You are always true creative essence, total immersion, reading everything that's happening. And the relationship to it is very similar, except total immersion, to what happens when you're reading a novel. So what's going to happen is going to happen. You're going to be aware of it. You're going to be aware of the thoughts, feelings, and sensations in inner space. You're going to be aware of what the Carrie character's body does. You're going to be aware of what the Carrie character's body says and sees, and everything that's part of inner space and story space and the intermingling of them in our lives. And the story's going to unfold, and odds are Truth Virus is going to continue to do its work, and things are going to happen, and things are going to change, and ultimate freedom is going to awaken more and more. Bear with the language, and there's the opportunity which you've narrated here. Now I see this polka dance going on in the mind machine. Again, that's gigantic, that you can actually be experiencing that even a little bit, even just some of the time, is miraculous. Considering how dense the cloud cover is, using my language, how hypnotic and mesmerizing the lies, illusions, and stories are, how much that was not experienced for most of your life up until now, that's miraculous. That's huge. That's gigantic. that an idea and a concept that was pointed to is actually starting to be experienced. So there's so much opportunity here to celebrate, rejoice, bear with the language, be happy, enjoy what may seem like, you know, insignificant little breakthroughs or whatever from some perspective, but they're not. They're gigantic. And then they continue. Okay, here is the next question. This is from Dale. What video? Inner Mentor Breakthrough number 3. Okay, so I don't know how much of the experience Dale has been through. Dear Robert, thanks for the opportunity to ask a question, which is, how can we separate permanently from the past pain of story space experiences to the pure, raw inner space experiences once and for all? Are past memories and story space finally only dissolved by obtaining more and more sunshine, to use your metaphor? Thank you, Robert, from Dale. Well, my bias, Dale, on this particular path, let's say what the teachings that I share in general, and in this case, the Ultimate Freedom teachings, bear with the language, what happens is this. And this was narrated and is part and parcel of what the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience is all about. There is a way of being that we could call phase 1. There is a way of being that we could call phase 2 if you were involved with the earlier teachings, which I believe you were, but I'm not certain. And then there is an opportunity in my language to knock out the rest of the cloud cover, make the leap into phase 3, start playing in phase 3, with ultimate freedom fully awake, my language. All of that happens on its own. And the way that I talk about it, as you know, is the truth virus is injected. It begins to do its work. There are things that happen that are part of the Ultimate Key to Freedom experience that are designed to support, let's just call it, dissolving lies, illusions, and stories. Exchanging them for a direct experience of truth with a capital T, language doesn't serve, knocking out cloud cover, whatever you want to call it. And that includes what we would call healing. That includes what we would call separating from pain, that you're calling it. It's all part of what happens or what can happen. It isn't, again, part of, there's a recent blog post that I did and a YouTube video about, do you have to become consciously aware of all of your stuff, you know, and heal, clear, resolve, whatever you want to call it, all of your shit, you know, before ultimate freedom can awaken? And my answer is no. But, so you might want to check out that blog post or the YouTube channel if you're subscribed to it. At the time of this recording, actually, I think that blog post is scheduled to appear at the second week of September, I believe. So go to the YouTube channel or go to YouTube and search on my name and spiritual healing, and you'll find that video if you want. But anyway, it just happens. And in the Robert story, in phase 1 and in phase 2, I'm just going to use your language, there was this huge amount of past pain, as you know about from my story, that I wanted to have healed. And I tried to heal it using 20 zillion different things, you know, mainstream, esoteric, metaphysical, psychological, energy healing. You know, I tried just about everything that's out there. And it never really happened, or it happened to a certain extent. But the key to it that I talked about on day 3 never really got handled. And then without me intending it anymore, without me really wanting it anymore, without it being a target, it just happened. Because in my language, true creative essence kind of said, as I mentioned on day 3, it's time in Robert's story for this stuff to get healed. And so we're going to heal it. In your language, separate permanently from the past pain. We're going to do it with a story, because everything in general unfolds as a story. There are exceptions that unfolds over time with twists and turns and ups and downs and challenges and whatevers. In the way that Michael Haig talked about it, that applies to healing and separating from past pain. If it's going to happen, to whatever degree it's going to happen in the Dale story, it's just going to happen. And so the equivalent, again, is you're reading a novel, like I said to Carrie, And you're on page 256, and on page 256, you're reading, the hero's name is Dale in this novel. As Dale was working his way through the Ultimate Key to Freedom videos, he realized, you know what? I still got a lot of pain, you know? I still got a lot of old stuff that really still seems to affect my life. I wonder, what's going to happen with all of this? I wonder, now that I'm aware of the Ultimate Freedom teachings, how can I permanently, in using your language, separate from this pain and be free of it once and for all? You know, be free of the repeating patterns, you know, the dynamics of the mind machine continuing to operate in those ways. And so that's on page 256, and you continue to turn the pages, and let's imagine, this isn't guaranteed, but this is on page 256, let's imagine that on page 600, you read, Dale woke up, and as he was, I don't know if you drink coffee, I'm making up stories here, as he was pouring his first cup of coffee of the day, he suddenly became aware, wow, normally at this time in the morning, I would be da-da-da-da, you know, which is experiencing old pain, whatever, and it's gone. And as Dale went about his day, he realized, wow, it's not just waking up in the morning that I'm not feeling this old pain anymore. Bear with the language. My boss was just a jerk and it didn't affect me the way it used to. Again, I'm making stuff up here. My partner said da-da-da-da. Normally that would have really, you know, stirred me up, but it didn't. And wow. And then in between page 256 and page 600, a bunch of stuff happened that you'd be reading about what happened in the Dale character's life that ultimately led to the healing. That's the kind of thing that happened with Robert. There was total immersion reading of a story in which the chapters that I was reading were about this past pain for the Robert character finally being healed. And noticing, big reaction, big reaction, big hurt, big ouch, big pain, less, none, as things were happening. In my case, with a second separation from a wife, a divorce from a wife, continued craziness. You know a lot about that. As other things were happening in business, other things were happening in other relationships, particularly with women in my story. But there was total immersion reading of this slow but sure healing, in your language, this slow but sure separation from pain. And so that may happen in the Dale story. There may be more of a lightning bolt moment where everything changes in a big way, maybe not completely, but in a big way, in a big burst. Maybe slow but sure like me, maybe in a burst, maybe a combination. It may be that all of this in the Dale story or somebody else listening to this is not going to get quote-unquote healed. It's still going to have impact, except when you total immersion read it happening. You can read about a character in a novel. You can see a character in a movie or a TV show that's struggling with some sort of a wound like Michael Haig talked about, some sort of past pain. And you can watch movies about that, TV shows about that, read novels about it all day long, and it isn't really any big deal because you're reading it. You're watching it. It's somebody else, quote unquote. And so with Ultimate Freedom Awake, it isn't necessary that all this stuff heal. It isn't necessary that there's separation from the pain. It does happen a lot because in many stories, it's no longer needed. And my bias is that's what has happened in the Robert story, is that the reason that this healing has been taking place, and by the way, at the time of this recording, that is not complete. It's still going on. There is still total immersion reading in the Robert story of quote-unquote old pain being healed and resolved and changing and old patterns dissolving and less and less and less and then gone, but total immersion reading of it. So it's a different experience. But anything can happen. The only guarantee is when it's being total immersion read, the experience of it, not a technique, not a theory, not a philosophy, not a way to try to change or modify or change, fix, and improve or whatever, but when total immersion reading is happening, when ultimate freedom is awake, it doesn't matter what's happening. It's enjoyed as a part of an amazing story, lack of a better term. So there's nothing that the Dale character can do in specific to separate from the past pain. It's going to be written or it's not. It's going to happen or it's not. If it does happen to one degree or another, it's going to happen in the way that it happens with whatever happens in inner space and whatever happens in story space. over whatever time frame it was written. In the Robert story, this healing is unfolding over multiple years. I don't know when it'll end. I don't know if it'll end. But as you, again, you talk about what Michael Haig talked about with stories. He's talking about stories that in general are 2 hours in a movie or whatever, 400 pages in an average novel. In our lives, as I've narrated in other places, I believe everything gets so much more extended because our lives are a lot longer than 2 hours or even seven books that were about 7 years in the Harry Potter story. But still, even with seven books about 7 years, there's a whole lot of stuff that would have happened in Harry's life that wasn't in the books, you know. So everything that Michael Haig talks about gets extended or can. So anyway, can't give you a totally clear answer, but when you say our past memories and inner space finally only dissolved by obtaining more and more sunshine, I feel like saying yes and no. Again, it's not part of every story for this kind of stuff to get healed and resolved and go away. It's part of certain stories and it's not part of others, but when a total immersion reading is happening, when ultimate freedom is awakening, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just an amazing story. So if it's going to happen, if total immersion reading of whatever happens, happens, yes, it's going to happen by more and more sunshine, ultimate freedom awakening more and more, the truth virus completing more and more of its work, which in general, as I mentioned with Carrie, and as I've mentioned about my own story, not a rule or a formula, but common, the work of the truth virus does not tend to complete over days, weeks, or in certain cases, even months. Again, Michael Haig would call that bad writing. It tends to unfold over a longer period of time to make an amazing story that ultimately is really savored and enjoyed and perceived as extraordinary, even if there were moments when what was being total immersion read was a character in a story, the hero who didn't want this to continue anymore, was upset about something, was frustrated, was saying the true creative essence, okay, fine, why is this still happening? I get it. Truth virus has done its work. There's a lot of sun shining. I am experiencing a lot of truth with a capital T. I'm experiencing with a capital E. Why is this same thing repeating? You know, there that kind of stuff can happen, but when it's being total immersion read, it's a different experience. So Dale and anyone else listening, if you want to continue a dialogue on this, ask some clarifying questions or whatever, I certainly welcome it, but that's the best support I can give you right now based on what you shared. Okay, looks like that's it for this week. So on that note, I will say bye-bye for now. Thank you for all the questions. Thanks for your time, those of you that have listened to this. I will look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.